This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello and welcome to the Two Robbies podcast, your destination for in-depth discussion and analysis of the Premier League and the Champions League. Coming live from California, I'm Robbie Musto and he's Robbie Earle, and here are today's topics. Manchester United drop points as the Saints put in another impressive performance. Three straight Premier League losses for Antonio Conte's Spurs as defensive errors continue. West Ham grab a late equaliser at Leicester City. Liverpool get the job done at Turf Moor to keep pace with the league leaders. Raheem Sterling scores a hat-trick as City easily wins against Newcastle. And Everton put on a show against Goodison Park. And we will quickly mention the Chelsea victory in the World Club Cup. Okay, Robbie Earle. First of all, everybody, apologies if you can hear music beaming, bounding, vibrating our little Super Bowl shelter here. We're in this kind of... little control room that's set up here just outside the SoFi Stadium. The game's going to get cracking. All the music started right now. It's going to be fun to be a part of it, my friend. And we've just finished our broadcast and we're going to chat now for a little while on our podcast. And then we're going to take our suit and tie off, mate. We're going to put a pair of jeans on and a t-shirt and we're going to go and have a beer and get a little bit of feel of what the Super Bowl is all about.
Yeah, LA style, my friend. LA style. But before we go LA style, let's talk about the Premier League. And I don't think we can ever talk about the Premier League without talking Manchester United. 1-1 draw at home to Southampton. Very similar to the game they played midweek against Burnley. Some good things in the first half. They go a goal up into half-time. Into the start of the second half, they can see the goal. Confidence starts to drop. Players start to not take on the responsibility. And Manchester United stutter to another point. The problem that this has, Rob, and we had a chat about it, I think, on the podcast last time. We talked about it on our broadcast for those who were watching or listening over the weekend. That, you know, Ralph Ragnick is quite a divisive character and seems to rub some people up the wrong way and don't see the value in his work and talk about rifts and that, players don't like him and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I think we both agree, like, let this guy do his job. Let him try and get to what he needs to do by the end of the season. And let's judge him and the team then. Unfortunately, results and performances like we saw at the weekend for Manchester United only adds fuel to the argument that is he the right guy? Is Chris Armas, who's been talked of as the Ted Lasso, but quite disrespectfully, really, in terms of the coaches come in. And doesn't a 1-1 draw with Southampton, having been 1-0 up and should be looking to kick on and make the game secure, doesn't a 1-1 draw against a Southampton team add fuel to the argument that he's not the right guy, it's not working, we're not much better?
It might for some, Rob, but it's not for me. Not for me. He's a good coach trying to do the right things, trying to coach them in a way that's more of a teamwork, that's going to get benefit of the players working together. We've said it before. United in the past have been allowed to run wild with no shape, big gaps, big distances. He said it after this one, that we have a lot of technical players in the team and we're finding it difficult to maintain our compactness through a game. Of course, there'll be criticism on the coach given the squad of players. But I think at some point, Rob, now, he's doing his best with this squad. It's time to question the players a lot more, my friend. You can think about the front three players, Rashford, Ronaldo and Jadon Sancho, the $100 million man from Borussia Dortmund. The facts are that Jadon Sancho has done better of late. He looks brighter, but he's nowhere near the consistent production of other big teams in this league. Marcus Rashford, moments of superb brilliance, an absolute diamond of a human being of what he's doing off the field, but he's not consistently playing well. Again, not like some of the other teams and players in those spots. Cristiano Ronaldo, 8 goals, 3 assists in 19 Premier League games. Hasn't scored for a while. Looks out of sorts. Looks like he's... you've got to be careful, of course, what you say about him, because he's a class player with sharpness and a brilliant finisher. But at this Premier League level, it's the highest level around European football, and he's not looking as effective as what the club maybe expected. Edinson Cavani played last time, didn't look great. So of a front three players, that, or even more when you consider some of the other guys there that's not available, of course, right now, that side of the team isn't doing great. And it's, you know, what can he do more? You know, we know it need the team needs to score more goals. He's got Pogba in midfield. He's got Bruno Fernandes in midfield. He's just got one holding player now. He hasn't got Fred as well as McTominay. You know, he's got his more attacking fullbacks, Rob, in Dalot and Luke Shaw getting forward to try and make things happen. He's trying to turn the dial up to be creative, to be attacking, whilst trying to be compact defensively as well. And, of course, we haven't seen that. United aren't defensively as strong and as solid as they need to be. But the main problem right now is the scoring of goals. And we said about the stats of those 70 shots in 3 games, just 3 goals coming from it. So at some point, for me, in my opinion, I'm not questioning or really scrutinising the coach in this one. I'm looking more at the players and the team and how they're doing and how individuals are playing. And that, for me, is more of a reason why United are not in a spot where we think they should be than the guy himself.
But and I hear your point, and I think, you know, you make valid points as ever. I suppose that the question then comes down to, if, you know, and we talked about, are these players good enough? I mean, I'd put Harry Maguire, Rob, we talked about him, I think, on the podcast, as a captain.
Yes.
I mean,
yeah,
he's that, an absolute, on form, he shouldn't be in the team. If you're over to Lindelof, he should be banging that door down and going, hold on a minute, this guy ain't playing. He's doing no-look defending. There was a shot of him where he gets taken on in the wide areas by Brozier. His body's turning in a completely wrong direction. He's trying to poke his leg out. That's your England. That's a captain of your football club. I think the question is, Rob, you know, if we cut to the chase, will Ralph, I mean, successful Ralph Ragnar, the reason why he was appointed was to obviously look at players, assess things, but to finish fourth. To take a team that finished second and spent $190 million on talent and make sure you're in the Champions League. Are you convinced then that by saying that he's the guy or this is the guy that Manchester United can grab that fourth spot? Because that's really what it'll be judged on, Rob. Fourth spot or not.
Yeah, and listen, I'm just not sure that any other manager right now, maybe bar two or three of the world's best or whatever, will get a lot more out of these guys right now. I mean, he's playing an attacking system. He's got the attacking midfield players in there for creativity. He's got what else can you expect? I mean, longer term for him, of course, we don't know what's going to happen longer term. You know, I think there's a growing, well, in fact, there's two sides, isn't there? Wherever you read or whatever you listen to, there's two sides to who might come over next. Mauricio Pochettino, if you listen to some pockets of media, you know, is the one that players want. The club have been keen on him for a long period of time. We said it a million times back in the time where they could have got him, that they didn't get him, they should have got him when they had Ole Gunnar Solskjaer in charge. And Erik ten Hag is the other one, Rob, which is, of course, linked more, you know, in terms of philosophy, etc., to Ragnar. Now, I like the idea of that one just as much as Pochettino. You know, we're both fans of Pochettino.
Yeah.
But I think Ralph Ragnar talks sense. I think he's experienced. He's done good work at other clubs in a director of football role. You know, who knows how much control or say he's going to have in his consultancy role. But if it's, you know, Erik ten Hag, with the way that he's done great work at Ajax with the younger players, the style of play, you know, I like that combination a little bit. But that's in the future. You know, right now, and he's learning now, Rob, and he'll report back to the board of directors and the owners, you know, what he thinks of this squad and what's needed. And he's already said, by the way, which I'm not sure it's a brilliant thing to say, but he's already said it's obvious we need a new, young striker. And it is kind of obvious. That piles a little bit of pressure on Cavani and Ronaldo.
I don't necessarily say, listen, it does, and obviously the striking situation is difficult with the Mason Greenwood, add that to it as well. But whatever, I'm just not convinced. I think, for me, we're getting to the point where I'm not sure some of these players, you say, you know, what he's doing and what he's trying, and maybe it's because of thing. I look at that defence, Rob. Diogo Dalot's not a top four, top six right back in the country. Luke Shaw, I think, fit and in a good shape can be. I'm not sure they've got a centre-back partnership yet. I'm not sure that Varane and Maguire are it. I'm not sure Bailly, when he comes in, is it, or Lindelof. I'm not sure they've still got a centre-back pairing. All the successful teams have had, and I'm sure we can name those. So that defensively, I still think there's issues. Midfield, I'm not convinced when they haven't got the ball that a Pogba and Bruno axis as two eights that works well, McTominay, is good enough to play top four. So I still think you've got issues around personnel, balance, system playing, style of play from the midfield. And you've talked about the front line. So while it's Manchester United, while it's a team we think should be probably in the top four for talent, when you actually pick through it, it ain't as great as we think, as you think, Rob. This team isn't as great as you think.
Just on the back of this game, Rob, in the first 45 minutes, that again, there's some good periods from United. And by the way, we will and we should credit Southampton, Rob.
Yeah,
a team that are absolutely on their game. And this is always going to be an awkward encounter against Southampton that outplayed Spurs, won that game against M3-2. So it was always going to be a difficult game. But I thought, you know, based on the first half, Paul Pogba, you know, and this is so typical where he can frustrate, he's not reliable, you can't hang your hat on him. But wasn't he good in the first half an hour?
That's the Pogba you want. Now, why you only get out for spells, for halves, for moments, I don't know. But that's what the Paul Pogba playing at his peak in a good Manchester United team is a threat.
They've still got a chance in the top four, Robbie. We'll move on to some other teams as well.
Individual ability.
Yeah, but there's, you know, we'll go through the teams and stuff. But I mean, they've absolutely still got it on their chance to get in the top four. They've had some disappointing results, Rob. I would say with the performances, there's good signs, and of course, the obvious part right now is that they can't put a performance together for 90 minutes. They can play well, they can create a ton of opportunities, they always don't score a ton, but they, you know, they score and then they can't see games out by managing it, whatever it is. So they've got to get over that.
But again, I hear your point, and I'm not saying it's totally Ragnick's fault, but you talked about Southampton just before we move on, because we want to talk Spurs and Wolves next, but the value of coaching, the value of working with a group of players, go through, and I think I said this to you when we looked at it the weekend, go through the Southampton 1-11. There's nothing special in there. The value of coaching, the value of understanding, the value of systems of play. We talked about little routines where they keep getting Ward-Prowse off on the side when he's deep and he's putting the ball in, the team know. That level of coaching with a player of less quality than Manchester United means that Southampton can compete. Why can't Manchester United get that level of coaching to improve them again to another level?
Well, Ralf Rangnick will say, well, because he's had 3 years. And Hasenhüttl said it himself, Rob, that he's had 3 years to groove this system. And he's finally found a way.
I'm not saying the time, but I'm saying the value of coaching is...
Yeah, I agree.
You've got to get the right coach to take Manchester United and be given to a level
time,
where they can, correct?
Yeah, but a really good coach that's smart, that's intelligent, correct, that can work on attacking themes to develop the team. I feel right now Ralf Rangnick, Rob, is still like emergency mode, plugging holes and trying to find
firefighting everywhere.
Exactly. Yeah, with all the stuff that's coming out as well. So it's not an easy job. Everybody, former, you know, a lot of pros, a lot of journalists, you know, it's so quick to dismiss somebody who's trying to do something a little different, and you know he's trying to coach and make. He's a very experienced guy. I mean, he knows the game. It's just, you know, when the results aren't good, a club like United, you're going to get hammered.
Yeah,
and the noise is going to liven up now based on this result and previous ones. But the bottom line is, it is about results, my friend, and it is coming to the last kind of quarter of the season or whatever, where they're desperate to get in the top four. You know, I still think they'll find a way to do it. But of course, I can make an argument for everybody else as well in that race, you know, them doing it and them not doing it. So all to play for. I think it's going to be the most fascinating part of the season, Rob, going forward, is the race for that top four spot.
And by the way, they've got an interesting game at Elland Road coming up next Sunday. Leeds v Manchester United. I mean, one to watch for them. I mean, Leeds and Manchester United have some serious history going back to Cantona and before.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Those days. Let's talk about a team that are having a bit of a struggle, my friend. Tottenham Hotspur went to Wolves today. Both teams vying for a top four spot. Tottenham with plenty of games in hand. Wolves with a bit of decent form and probably the most efficient team in the league. Scored 19 goals, conceded only 17. Wolves go and get the job and get their 2-0. And it was really interesting, wasn't it? Because we spoke with Ole White, who hosted the shows at the weekend, talked about this, who can have the top four spot. And we talked about United and West Ham and Arsenal and Spurs. And it wasn't a throwaway, but we said, I suppose Wolves are in there really, aren't they? And we kind of kept saying, well, yeah, they'll probably drop out at some point. But maybe we're wrong. Maybe they're not going to quite drop out in the manner that we thought.
Yeah, given today's result, Rob, maybe it was good that I think Arlo brought up on the set about, you know, we should speak about Wolves, they're close by, you know, under the radar type of thing, and then they go and do this. They go and do this at the home of a club that wants to get there, that feels they can get there with a manager that's got tremendous reputation. But he's struggling, Rob. You know, you talk about a manager and affecting his team and coaching in a way to get the most out of them. Defensively, we thought that he was addressing and building a foundation back there. Yeah. And we understood, like, you know, he's more of a counter-attacking coach anyway. Mm-hmm. But that foundation is brittle. It's brittle. And the lack of footballing, possession, build-up play, if you like, hurts the front players. So in that they're not scoring, they're not creating, they're not keeping clean sheets. I mean, are you surprised, Rob? I think, you know, when he first took over, I remember saying things like, well, there you go. This is what you're going to get. Defensive clean sheet. You know, counter-attacking goals, but it's dropped off. Is that that's three losses on the spin? You know, he's had a couple of new players in the window. Yeah. Time to work with his defending players and systems and shapes and shadow play and all the stuff that we talked about, and they're going to get fitter. But, I mean, with a chance to get in the top four, given the others' kind of performance levels, what's going on at Spurs?
Oh, again, it's an interesting one because supposedly good managers have gone into Tottenham Hotspur and kind of keep ending up in the same place. Regardless of if they've given money or not given money or bought players or not since players, since Pochettino left, kind of feels like things get bright and then they drop off. And it feels like, almost feels like there's a bit of a heavy cloud somewhere on the club that it just can't break free of. And like you say, you start seeing a bit of defensive structure. You think, oh, that's going to be it. He's going to sort the defence out. And then we know with Kane and Son and Moura and players up front that he's brought in this Kulusevski guy and Steven Bergwijn got lots of attacking threats, but I don't know, Rob, it just doesn't seem to work. And as you said, listen, not scoring at the other end, only 28 goals scored, that's less than Southampton. Look, you see at the other end, that's 29 goals, that's more than Brighton. So teams that you would think it should be better than, they're not, Rob. And again, I suppose at some point, it's a bit like Man United, do you have to look at the group and go, is it as good as we think? Oh, are we over talking some of these players?
I don't know, mate. I mean, we surely can't over talk Harry Kane and Heung-min Son. No. you talk about the Southampton scored more goals than them.
Yeah.
Crystal Palace have scored 32 goals. Now they've played a couple more games. Granted, that's four more goals than Spurs so far. I mean, it's football never ceases to amaze and fascinate you, doesn't it? When you expect one thing, but. My friend, we got to start talking about Wolverhampton Wanderers. And my underappreciated performer of the weekend is their manager, Bruno Lage. What a job. What a job he's doing in such a different way to Nuno. And we caught an interview with him at the end of our show, Robert, and a couple of quotes I made a note of because I thought, this is so Bruno Lage. Of course, he said it was a great result, but it's the way we played. And quote, it's the way that we played. We're playing our game. And he said it again. The way we played pleased him the most. He is so determined to play in a style, in an expansive attacking way, that it's his philosophy, it's his DNA, that he's is of course, he's joyfully spreading across his football club.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that, that he's so intent on performing in a way. It's almost like, if we get our performance right, if we move the ball, if we keep it, if we defend well, if we attack together and defend together, the results will come.
Mm.
And I got to be honest, if I was a young fan and you know, hearing and seeing that philosophy at my club would be a joy to me. Of going to watch that and seeing this team play, and my manager at the end of it, after a brilliant performance and an unexpected victory away at Spurs, saying, it's the way that we play that most pleases me. He is underappreciated, Rob. And, of course, you know, he's still new. And as time goes on and this team develops and the results we, of course, continue to examine, he's going to be a bigger, bigger name in this league. You know, we've seen managers have great seasons and drop off the next season. Of course, we'll judge that longevity as the seasons go by and the months go by. But he deserves this underappreciated, Rob, because nobody talks about Bruno Lage. We talk about Graham Potter all the time, Rob. And we talk about Brendan Rodgers in the past. Right now, we should be talking about Bruno Lage. Results with that squad quietly playing a style of football that's joyful and just a great story in this Premier League right now.
Yeah, really good shout, Bruno Lage, coming after Nuno. Not easy boots to fill, but certainly done that. Got Wolves playing in a different way. Got Jimenez back on the pitch. And exciting team who, I'm telling you, like you say, you can't rule out of that for the race for the top four spots, especially with the way they play. And a defensive record, Rob, only 17 goals conceded. I mean, that's the bedrock in which he's building his team. Let's move it on to Leicester City facing West Ham. So two teams. West Ham looking to hold on to fourth spot. A Leicester City team that have had a bit of a struggle of late under Brendan Rodgers. And Brent, it was interesting with the team. I was looking at their Leicester team. Most of the players were back who either rested, dropped, or whatever you want to call. Soyuncu was back in the team. Tielemans was back in the team. Barnes was back in the team. It was pretty much, apart from one or two, maybe Evans and Pavone, you know, a strongish Leicester team. They conceded early, went 1-0 down to West Ham. No surprise, Jared Bowen getting the goal. But then found themselves back in the game through a penalty and a Pereira header. And with 2-1 up, Rob, with 2 or 3 minutes to go, West Ham get a corner. And I'll leave you to guess what happens. A corner against Leicester City, and we pretty much know what the outcome's going to be.
Yeah, infuriating for Leicester City fans.
Mm.
You know, I think that's 11 goals conceded from corners.
Yeah.
They've played 22. That's one every two games. I mean, that, if you think back to your career, Rob, we both played for many, many, many years. Like, that was never one in two games. Every other game you conceded from a corner. Plus, they've conceded more from set pieces.
Yeah, 14 in total. Yeah, 11 from a corner.
It does start to get in your head, doesn't it? I know there was periods where we did concede a lot of set pieces. We did a ton of work on it. We'd get a corner kick, and everybody's on edge. Because they know how important it is. And it seems that the more you worry about it, it continues to happen. So there's a ton of players around the goalkeeper, not really marking the West Ham players. Craig Dawson is brilliant attacking. He's brave, not one of the biggest centre-backs, but a brave guy at heading the ball and attacking set pieces. He gets equalising goal, and the Leicester fans are unsatisfied. West Ham United, Rob, I would say unsatisfied.
Yeah.
Not for them either, was it? It wasn't a good performance. We just talked about United. We just talked about Tottenham Hotspur. And now West Ham. Who wants to finish in the top four? I mean, it's incredible. I expect them to take control and drive on and win this game. Yet they looked kind of average and maybe a little tired. I don't know. There's a midweek game. Of course, they played on the Tuesday. Leicester played on the Thursday. So less rest for Leicester. But that handball from Aaron Creswell, Robbie Earl, right before halftime.
Changed
the atmosphere. They go in at half-time, it's a different vibe, and they come out and look the better side in the second half.
So Youri Tielemans actually looked more like himself, Rob. Certainly as the game got on, second half, he got on the ball, he made things happen, started to hit cross-field balls. And I mean, he's a talent. He's obviously a bit of noise around him now that he's not going to be signing a contract in his likes of Liverpool, supposedly. Looking maybe to do some business in the summer with a year on his contract. I'm sure Leicester are going to want to get a fee for him. So, I mean, challenging times for Brendan between now and the end of the season. They actually go in the Europa Conference League. I know he didn't know anything about it. And they're playing a team called Randers that I don't know anything about, which is a bit of a slap in the face for this Leicester City team who we've seen over the current seasons, challenging for Champions League, winning FA Cups, going back further, winning a title. Just a little bit of a testing time for Leicester, the group, the football club. And I hope they don't Nobody does anything silly or rash. I think there's still a good group of players there. I thought there were signs, Rob, in the second half. They looked a little bit more like themselves. Obviously, the goal is a crusher for them. But, I just hope, you know, they can work through this together collectively and come out the other side.
Yeah, I mean, I think Jamie Vardy, I know with his age and stuff, and you can't rely on that sort of player forever, obviously. But I don't know, his personality, his character, the way he runs, the way he chases, the way he's so hungry to play well and score goals. I think they're missing that. I think there's been a lack of sparkle about the team, Rob. When you've had a good run at the top four for the last two seasons, and yeah, they dropped out to fifth both times, but it's kind of, I would imagine, it must be fun to be around the top four and challenging for that and trying to defy the odds and be that team that can get in there. And when you have a bad start, you have injuries, you're at mid-table, I kind of get it that things go a little flat. It was a little flat, and then it wasn't a little flat, and they kept going again. And like you said, those flashes, when the football starts to flow and the energy starts to flow and the crowd there start to, then it's like, well, yeah, that's the Leicester that we've known and loved over the last few seasons. So they've got to get it going again. It might be that the club, the squad need a big reset, Rob, in the summer. Just a big reset. Get some of these players back. I mean, there's still a ton of injuries to important players that seem to have been out forever, by the way. And you think of Fofana and Johnny Evans and, of course, Jamie Vardy. So, you know, I think it's just unsatisfactory from both sides here. I mean, moving to the table a little bit. It was a great weekend for Arsenal. You know, if you're Arsenal Football Club, you didn't play this weekend.
Yeah.
And yet you score your rival.
You've got another game in hand then, you know.
Yeah, and then people start talking about Arsenal as being potentially the favourites. They've got two games on Manchester United. They've got three games on West Ham United and, you know, only 2 points behind West Ham. So they should, you know, with reasonable form, find a way into that top four over the next few weeks. Now, whether they're going to be good enough to stay there, we'll have to wait and see. But
whether they're good enough to stay in there, whether they're good enough to keep 11 players on the pitch with us. They've got a chance. Let's take it to turf more, mate. Not the best day we've ever seen in Britain. Rain, wind, blowing before a ball was kicked. Burnley home. Having played well again in the second half against Manchester United to get a 1-1 draw. Kind of in a not a brilliant game, but created, I thought, some really good chances in the first half. And about Weghorst, the new signing, $16 million from Wolfsburg, played up front with Joe Rodriguez. And they had a couple of good looks, Rob, before Liverpool got the goal before half-time. And it's only 17 goals scored all season. Weghorst's been bought in to replace Chris Woods, basically to score goals. Can he get double figures, you're hoping, between now and the end of the season to give Burnley a chance? Listen, it's difficult, this league. It's difficult to come in, especially as a centre-forward. We've seen so many of them come from other leagues scoring goals and struggle. But he's had a couple of looks, Rob, and he's not quite found the right technique when he's been placed through one-on-one.
Yeah, disappointed finish early on, wasn't it? We tried to chip the goalkeeper, got it all wrong, stubbed his toe, pulled the ball. There's another one a little later on. I think some of these are offside, actually, by the way, Rob. Some of these other chances that look like for Burnley, the flag is down, etc. Yeah, when you create a couple of chances against Liverpool and you haven't scored, or you scored less than a goal a game in the Premier League, then you really do have to take them. I mean, I am continued to be worried about Burnley. I've been worried about them a long period of time now. You know, if I'm a Burnley fan, I'm a little bit fed up and frustrated with the investment in the squad. I mean, I know that Maxwell Cornet has been a really good signing, but you had to sell Chris Wood. I think it's around about half the money they got for him they spent on Wout Weghorst, who in some ways looks all right, but let's be honest. I mean, he ain't got any pace. He's 6'6". He'll flick a couple of balls on. Maybe he might get two or three goals, Rob. I mean, now he went off injured, by the way, holding the back
of a bit of an injury. Yeah, that's a worry. That's a worry.
Fit again, which is good, you know. I don't know. I mean, of course, you can't judge them too harshly on a game against Liverpool.
Yeah.
But the maths is starting to not add up, Rob. I checked back, you know, and the fewest points and wins to stay in the division is 34 points and it's 6 wins. Nobody's ever got fewer than those numbers and stayed in the Premier League. Burnley have got 1 win. They've got to win 5 games, really, if you're going to go on that.
Yeah,
5 games in, 17, almost 1 in 3 win to get to that kind of, you know, record. 34 points, 20 points, Rob. They've got to get 20 points. That's 5 wins, 15 plus some draws. So I know they've got a couple of games in hand, but now that's 7 points from safety. I mean, it's alarm bells, Rob. You know, I think we can all say, and you say at times, you know, in Dyche we trust, and he's said it, I've watched all his press conferences, and he believes in the philosophy, defensive strength, and believes they can get out of it. I'm saying now it's starting to be, wow, you've got to put a run of wins together that, of course, after 21 games and one win, is tough to imagine.
Yeah, listen, it's an odd argument. And the problem is, Rob, 17 goals only know you've scored fewer. You've bought a centre forward who needs to get your goals. He's got to deliver the goals or else you're going to be in trouble. And the thing that gives me and possibly Burnley players and Sean Dyche hope is other parts of the team function. The defence, Rob, conceded 29 goals. The fewest in the bottom half of the table. So defensively, this team ain't bad with a good goalkeeper behind.
So what have you got to do then? Because I know what I want to do.
You've got to turn more hot chances into goals. You've got to turn up the attacking dial now and then sometimes and let Corney and McNeil or Heather look a bit higher and go and win some, take a bit more of a calculated gamble against certain people. You might not want to do that against Liverpool. But you might, in certain games, have to go, we need to go and get 3 points today. Yeah. And I still think this team has the capabilities of doing it. I still do. And I know what you're saying. They've got a couple of games in hand. I mean, they're still, Rob, they've won one game all season, and they're not adrift. They're not totally adrift of anybody else in the bottom three. There's 1 point between them and Watford. There's 3 points between them and Norwich. And, there's 7 points between them and Newcastle. But, listen, it's out there.
Right, let me bang out the next six. You're going to give me a win, draw, loss on the next six games. Brighton away, next game.
Draw.
Tottenham at home.
Win.
Maybe. Crystal Palace away. They could win that.
Draw. All right. Ball, draw.
Chelsea at home.
Lose.
Brentford away.
Win.
And Southampton at home.
Draw.
So there's two wins there. You've got six.
It's two wins in two draws. That's eight points, maybe.
Yeah, in the next six.
Doable, Robbie Musto. In Sean Dyche, I'm going to keep trusting. It's Super Bowl Sunday. Anything can happen, my friend. In
on Liverpool, Rob. I mean, good lineup given the. Yeah. You've got the experienced boys in there, a bit of physicality in midfield in Henderson and Fabinho and Keita. Thiago came on, Rob, I thought, to control game when they got ahead, possessed the ball a little bit more, but only ran out of steam a little bit in the second half. I mean, we've talked about Liverpool looking really, really good in recent weeks. European football for them, isn't it? European football.
Inter Milan on Wednesday. Wednesday, is it?
On Wednesday, Inter away. Wednesday, in Milan. So, but good for them, innit? They've just got to keep... It's kind of ugly, but they'll take it.
And you use the players as they need to, Rob. The squad's quite big now and down the track as the games come up. City, we've seen, use those options and keep... Let's just hang in there. From Liverpool's point of view, let's have a title race if we can. Let's go to the league leaders, Manchester City, who went to Norwich. Lost there a couple of seasons ago, and I'm thinking, well, could it be one of those days? We talked on a poddy, didn't we, that... They just have an odd day when it cannot go right. We saw at Spurs, we saw at Palace. Yeah. Wasn't to be one of those days, was it? Because you kind of know with City, after about 10 or 15 minutes, you go, they're just dominating the ball. They're just getting in those hot spots. They're just waiting sooner or later. It's going to come. It does, and once it comes, it's usually a barrage. Ends up four with Sterling getting a hat-trick. Clean sheet again. City being City, really, Rob. And maybe City fans would say we don't give them enough credit. I think we do. I mean, we're two people who do appreciate what they do and how they do it. And I talked on air about, the skill and the goals and the speed and the passing and all that stuff. The attitude, Rob, as well, is still great. You know, to be winning that regular and not take your foot off the gas, to not sometimes turn up and think, this is another 3 points. It never seems to be like that. That's a credit to the manager and the culture that he's created around the football club.
Yeah, listen, it's a joy to watch them, mate. It's a joy to watch them. We see the same things every single week. I know that teams have scouting departments and they'll scout on the team and what they can do good. Well, we see it every week, and I don't know whether a team spends that much time prepping for Man City. It's the same way they beat you every single time. They hammer you down one side. They create a little triangle to outnumber you, with those runs from midfield to get behind. They pull the ball back for tapping goals. If it's not on one side, they switch it quickly to the other side and try and do it there. If it's not on, so they hammer each side. Yeah. There's never as well, by the way, Rob. I remember doing a lot of commentaries, you know, in previous kind of, I guess, jobs and parts of the job. And I've talked about other teams possessing for possessing and lacking penetration.
Yeah.
Well, Man City rarely pass for the sake of it. It's always full on. It's full on. It's attack, attack, attack. Whether it's a direct ball over the top, whether it's trying to play through the middle. If you're Norwich in this game, I feel sorry for them. I'm almost exhausted watching them trying to stop City's football. And I think you made a good point, by the way, because I think City, the first 10 or 15 minutes, sometimes, I mean, very rarely, but you're like, I ain't quite at it. And they're at it. So forget about it. They find a way. The striker thing, I hold my hands up in absolute defeat that the lack of striker was going to mean too many games where they couldn't find that final touch. Mm. Their football is so good, Rob, that it doesn't matter who's in the box. It doesn't matter. The chances are so clear that they just need a player with technical ability, which they've got a ton of midfield players, small, tall, doesn't matter, and they score on the goals. Raheem Sterling, Rob's on fire.
Yeah,
I mean, it's just, it's monotonous. And Norwich have been better, been more competitive, but City, I mean, they win games easier than anybody else most weeks, not just because it's Norwich.
Interesting next weekend as well. Next City face Tottenham next Saturday, 12:30 p.m. on Big NBC. That's remember Spurs beat them first game of the season. You know Spurs. They got battered, by the way, but 1-0. Found a way.
How does Spurs stop City, Rob? How the heck are we expect Spurs to with their defensive
Spurs have got to look for, and when it may come the rare times, quick transitions, maybe a turnover possession, and then get your front three to try and hurt Man City the other way. So whether it's Kane, Moura, and Son. Bentancur, at least Rob is in there. If he's one of them players who can look for a forward pass and maybe get. Listen, there's top of the table, they're joint top scorers, the best defensive record because they're the best team in the league. But you've got to try and find your ways. But the problem for Antonio Conte is he hasn't got a durable defence that can handle what City are going to throw at him.
No, they're going to throw it from all angles.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
So, but really good game to look forward to next weekend. Next game, my friend, is...
weekend, is it Goodison Park, my friend? Everton face the Leeds United team. With the pressure, the spotlight and everything else on Frank Lampard and this group of players who won one game in the last 15, were in all kinds of terrible form, did have Dominic Calvert-Lewin back in the team, which is important, did have a first Premier League start for Donny van de Beek. Dele Alli started on the bench. He didn't have great... Yeah, Mino is out for a while. Godfrey's out for a while. So it's Holgate and Keane. And it's one of them, Rob, where if this game didn't start well, this game starts going in the wrong direction, it could have been a really, really difficult afternoon for Everton. But credit Frank, credit his team. I thought were brave. I thought got on the ball. I thought created a good atmosphere in the stadium. The fans played their part. And it was actually a really satisfying, I think, performance. Three goals, could have been more. Van de Beek, I thought, was excellent with his continuity play. Calvert-Lewin, a little disappointing. I'm not sure if he's 100% fit or he needs a little bit of time to get up to speed. And I just, there was one guy who was close to my underappreciated player of the week, actually. Anthony Gordon, my friend.
Well, there's a couple. I think if we had him before, we might have had him
I'm
before.
I'm not sure if we had him before, but I quite like him. 20 years of age.
Yeah, of course. I mean, the other one, of course, I just think it's a little early, is Donny van de Beek. You talk about underappreciated. My goodness. You know, like we talk about Man United's potential issues in midfield. I mean, he looked super comfortable, Rob, in the middle of the park. with Allen alongside him, and you can get forward a little bit. He got forward for the goal, didn't he?
He got forward for that goal.
My main point was that's the Everton that the fans want to see. Mm. No question. Not complicated tactics. It's pretty much a simple 4-4-2, but a ton of energy and of effort and of desire and of fight. And you ain't got to worry about your defensive liabilities if you've got that forward momentum. Front foot, press, tackle, get it wide, make chances and score goals. That was Everton through and through. Now, I'm sure Frank Lampard, I mean, fair play to Frank Lampard, by the way, Rob, because that was what a big game it was in terms of the table and pressure and all that kind of stuff. What a way to come through it. And that is, you bottle that up, that's Everton Football Club is what I remember it, Rob. And you can go back to the Dogs of War and even further back to title winnings and brilliant teams I've had before.
And
I've listened to a ton of Everton fans. We listen to the radio and podcasts all the time. And that's what they want. It was a brilliant game to win that 3-0 against a side that is super awkward and got outworked. Have we ever said that? Leeds got outworked.
Yeah, and couldn't handle an Everton team. And just before we do move on as well, the other guy I just want to mention, and he got the first goal, Rob, and not renowned for his goals. Seamus Coleman, by the way, is the right kind of player Frank Lampard will absolutely love in his dressing room. You know, probably coming to the end few years of his Premier League career. Tim Howard I spoke to Tim about him and said, you know, he's the sort of player that they'll keep on the staff. You know, he's been there that long, he's important. But his energy, Rob, his enthusiasm, the way he plays, and I think I mentioned it on the broadcast, it was a lovely shot at the end of Coleman with his arm around Alex Iwobi. Iwobi's had a difficult time and not always going to start and in and out. And listen, I don't know the words, but the body language and the way the conversation looked is me saying that a captain and older pro going to Alex Iwobi, you can be in this team if you work hard and keep those stands and play like that. But that's got to be every week. And it, unfortunately for us and Alex Iwobi, it isn't every week. He's a bit up and down. But it was a brilliant shot of an older pro on a good day when they've won, almost passing on his knowledge, passing on his help to say, this is a standard. This is what Everton Football Club needs and wants. And you can be part of it.
Absolutely, and I couldn't agree more. And there was a shot of him, and the shot was from behind, and their arms over each other.
Yeah,
and he kept going back, Coleman, to him. Mm. He kept saying, "No, you." Seamus Coleman had a great day, scores a goal, but he was. This is part of it, by the way, because they're on the right side, fullback and right side midfield player. So you work as a team, as a partnership. Mm. You know, Coleman will want him to come back and help defensively. That's what he's saying. You helped me defensively, and you did a good job going forward. Yeah. It was a really important day, Rob, and the pressure that was on them. It was a complete performance in some ways. And, you know, we talked about relegation being close by.
Yeah.
It's, you know, of course, in terms of table position, they're still, doesn't look good at 16th.
No.
But the confidence that will give them and the belief in the fans that something, you know, and I ain't saying, I'm not saying that this is the start of something special, but the start of something that might be more encouraging, particularly with that energy and effort and flipping tempo.
Mm.
That's a minimum requirement, really, at Everton. So brilliant, great day for Everton Football Club, really was.
And when you take that, as you say, that intensity and that effort to a Leeds team, and we know and Leeds can't live with some high praise indeed. So well done Everton, well done Frank Lampard, first 3 points in the Premier League. Let's quickly go through the other games, mate, and move on. We got Brentford 0-0 with Palace. A couple of chances maybe in the first half for each team, but point apiece for those in the London derby. Watford 0, Brighton 2. Brighton continues to get the goals. Mope scores the first with a lovely, well-executed sort of volley as the ball came into him. And then I think it was Webster who found himself in the six-yard box and towed it home to give Brighton a 2-0 lead. Watford, I think that's going to be a struggle, Rob, for Roy. I know, you know, it'd be almost fairy tale if he can come back and keep him up, but I'm afraid that one doesn't look great. The other big game was at T. James's Park, Newcastle versus Villa, Stevie G versus Eddie Howe. And Newcastle get the win, my friend. Newcastle goal scorer continues to be an important person, Kieran Trippier. Mm. And I'm going to go straight to it, mate. My underappreciated performer of the week, Kieran Trippier. the first player in the door at Newcastle when everybody saw it with the big Saudi investment. It comes from Atletico Madrid. Eddie Howe talked about how important he is in the dressing room as well as his ability. We've seen him for England. We've seen him for Spurs. We've seen him for Atletico Madrid. I mean, Simeone didn't want to lose him. He did. And this guy's come up with a couple of goals. Apparently, he's been a driving force in the dressing room. Bad news. Well, we hope it doesn't get any worse that he came off today, had a scan, had a protective boot on, was on crutches. Hopefully, that's precautionary because they would miss him, Rob, over the next few weeks if he's not there. Because you just get the sense and the feel Eddie's starting to turn this thing around a little bit. And Trippier's been a big part of that.
Yeah, captain armband, you said today, Rob. And, you know, it's a great shout, you know, underappreciated, because do you remember all the flack that Gareth Southgate got for playing Kieran Trippier right back for England when there's all these other right backs doing such a brilliant job in the Premier League? He's a class performer, superb attitude, and a little bonus, he's brilliant at taking free kicks. It was a big deflection there. It was kind of a weird move in the midfield area. I can't remember who it was now. He just flicked off his spine.
Gwendia.
He crouched down, Robert, I'm assuming, to let the goalkeeper see it.
See the ball, yeah.
And then he stands up, and of course he's then standing up. He throws his leg out. So that wasn't—I don't think that was particularly great from their point of view. Aston Villa, who are not kind of, you know, dropped off a little bit. Mm. But my goodness, Newcastle—you know, this is what the fans want, Rob. They wanted new manager, new ownership, attacking football. Eddie Howe, Rob. We said, like, he's going to try and play himself out of trouble. It's his philosophy. Yeah. He said it himself many times. I don't know any other way. And my goodness, you know, with the victories now—is that three on a spin for them?
Yeah, I think third time for three on the spin. Yeah,
they got 21 points and, you know, fourth spot right now. There's four. They're four clear of Norwich. They're six clear of Watford. So, you know, I thought they might find a way to get out of it because it looked pretty
bleak. I wasn't as convinced sure they had to get wins, and he's done what I think Burnley need to do, as you said, Rob. They've got to put some back-to-back wins together and see if he can change the look of what the bottom table looks like. Listen, there was one big game going on at the weekend. It was Chelsea who won the FIFA Club World Cup against Palmeiras. It was 2-1 after extra time. Kai Havertz coming up with a big goal again. I know it's one of those things that split opinion on. Well, some don't feel it's a trophy competition worth that much store. Others suggest it's another trophy that's won, that Champions League winners and others go into. Chelsea do what Chelsea do, Rob. They get to finals and they win things. And I think that completes the full complement of club cups that they can win from domestic, European, and now the Club World Cup. Nothing but good things to think and say about it, Rob. You know, yes, they're away. Yes, other teams might have got a slight march in the league. But I think it's a prestigious trophy to win.
I think it is. Of course, qualifying for it is incredibly difficult.
Yeah.
But once you're there, I mean, you've got to try and win it. I mean, no matter what people think about it, based on, you know, some of the other teams in different sectors of the world.
Yeah.
But, like, if you go there, you want to win it. The Roman Abramovich, the owner of Chelsea Football Club,
was there.
He's holding the trophy. Absolutely. Spoke to Thomas Tuchel, talked about their conversation they had afterwards. And Thomas Tuchel was really, I don't know, I kind of liked his words, Robbie, saying it's for you. You've made this happen. You've brought this club. You've taken it from, you know, not a great place into a club that's won everything you can win in the club game for Chelsea Football Club. So, yeah, I mean, Kai Havertz gets a penalty. Robbie scores a winning goal. Champions League finally gets this one as well. You know, maybe that will, I don't know.
Big Rom scored, Rob. You know, there's good enough things. You know, it's a group together. And I think a couple of the big clubs, like Manchester United, could do with winning something in that dressing room, collectively in that dressing room. That can never be a bad thing. I used to celebrate winning games in training because it pulls you together. And you know, and I don't think there can be anything wrong with me winning a Club World Cup. And well done for Chelsea for doing it. Yeah. Yes, one or two have got a march in the league, but another trophy in the Chelsea cabinet. Listen, mate, that's time. Match week 25. The top two won, the bottom three lost. Wolves beat Spurs, so they are now challenging for fourth spot. We'll be back on Wednesday, that's February the 16th, after the first round of knockout games of the Champions League. For Sporting, they'll host Manchester City. Liverpool, they're going to travel to Milan to face Inter Milan. That's going to be a big one. We're going to get ready for the 56th Super Bowl, mister. Must go. Jeans, t-shirt, and let's go find ourselves a cold beer somewhere. But for now, I'm Earl. He's Musty, together with two Robbies. Thanks for watching and listening. Be safe, stay healthy, enjoy the game. Come on, the Rams. Good night from me.
That's good night from him.
Good night.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.